help end sexual violence against women. Welcome to another episode of It's Her Turn. I'm your host, Dr. Kate Dow, and it is Sexual Assault Awareness Month in April, and I'm feeling very called to do a podcast on this since I've been sharing about this a lot in my social media as well as in my Facebook group, talking with women about being able to come out of their shame and their hidden pain around violence, sexual abuse that has happened for them in their life. And I can tell you, it is not a simple thing, because I believe we as women, when we've been victimized, we hold on to responsibility for that happening, even when we know we are not to blame. It is a monstrous issue, right? It's huge, it's global, it's vast. And I've been doing a little research, and I'm honestly a little overwhelmed with the reality of the research and what is going on in the world that we just don't hear about enough, right? So this is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, but I barely even caught something in the media about it. And it's certainly not something that's being brought up enough. We have the Violence Against Women Act that is sitting, waiting in the Senate right now to see if they can get enough bipartisan support to reauthorize this very important act, which actually just blows my mind. Like, we have to stop and think about whether or not we're going to authorize this Violence Against Women Act. And apparently, the issue a few years ago in 2019, the Republicans weren't into it, was because it included a piece about safety for transgendered people. And that just, you know, absolutely unfurls their ability to think about, I don't know what that means. It's a point of challenge for Republicans, apparently, but I'm not going to go there and get into that. So let's come back to the topic. The topic is, you know, what are we doing as human beings to be more aware of this? What can we be doing as women to help make a difference? Well, number one is, I think we need to be sharing our stories. We need to be brave and be willing to come out and share what we've experienced. Because as we know, if we're not sharing and things are secret, then they stay secret. We had Deb Hansen on the podcast last week, and she shared about her story of being sexually abused that she had never told in public. Now, this is a woman who's done a lot of work on herself. She's now an intuitive life coach. She helps women, but she had never publicly told her story. And I have to say that I don't think that's uncommon. I think that's part of the problem, is that we struggle with being able to say what's gone on for us. And of course, I'm acknowledging right now that this happens to men, and men have challenges talking about it as well. But just for simplicity, I'm going to stay focused on violence against women, acknowledging that this is a global issue. It is a, you know, issue across all genders, you know, binary, non-binary, transgendered. This is violence against people is an issue. So when we can tell our stories, that's a huge piece of us exposing the truth. And we know that perpetrators often have been abused themselves, and then they go on to perpetrate. So we think of a family where for example, in Deb's family, we didn't go into that, but, you know, plenty of people I've worked with where we know it was systemic, meaning the people who were perpetrating the last, most recent generation were perpetrated and abused themselves. And so how do we stop that cycle? And a part of that, again, is to be able to come out and tell our truth. And then also to get support, to do our healing work so that we are not facilitating that in our families. I find this to be a very sensitive topic. And so I appreciate that you are here and being willing to listen and participate with me. When I did a little more digging, there's incredible research about abuse worldwide and how, of course, the vulnerable are the most, women who are young, women who are poor, women of color, women in countries where they don't have any means to protect themselves. We see a lot of sexual violence being used for control, for wars, for, you know, we hear about this in all the work that Eve Ensler has done over in the Congo. And I just recently read her book about that. And it was so painful and so intense, but what we need to be opening our eyes to, because unless we're recognizing how violence against women is just across the board, huge and uncharted, we can't change it, right? And even if we just look in America, okay, let's look at some stats for America. According to the website RAINN.org, RAINN.org, which is a fabulous website that has not only a free hotline, a sexual assault hotline, where they also have a chat now that's, I believe, 24/7 and confidential, and I'm putting that in the show notes. But they also go into some amazing information around finding about the laws in your state. Okay, so let's touch on the statistics. Every 73 seconds, an American is sexually assaulted. Wow. Every 9 minutes, that victim is a child. So we know that people who are abused as children, current research, old research is saying, if you've been sexually abused as a child, you're more likely to be raped or sexually assaulted as you've grown up. Within, you know, those next few years, because in a sense, we get primed, we get psychologically set up to feel afraid and unsafe. And then, you know, I didn't get into all of the research about why they're finding that is, but just as a psychologist, the people I've worked in my own personal experiences, it's like, you know, you just get set to know that you are getting, you know, preyed on. And when you feel preyed on because you've been preyed on, then you live like a person who is going to, you know, have to look out for yourself. And unfortunately, we live in a society that doesn't do a lot to help protect women. Obviously, we've talked about that in previous episodes. You know, we live in a patriarchy that, you know, to this day, it has not been interested in women having equal rights, equal vote, equal pay, and equal say about their sovereign bodies. And so we have a lot of work to do. Another great website that I came across is the National Sexual Violence Resource Center, also doing great work to collaborate and be connected with different corporations and events and talking about what's going on and how do we change it. There's a very high percentage of sexual violence that happens with our partners, you know, just women with their own partners being raped. Like it's something crazy, like more than half, 51% of female victims of rape reported being raped by an intimate partner. This is part of the mentality that I think is just from, you know, so long ago where women were property. And so if you are married, you don't have sexual sovereignty. You know, owe your partner. And of course, this isn't a topic that I have worked a lot with clients in the past who were struggling with this issue with their partners. Because their partners didn't understand. They literally could not understand why, if they want to be sexually satisfied and, you know, you are their wife, why can't they just, you know, demand it? They demand to be sexually pleased. And so this is part of our modern day culture that is still modeling this idea of women are, you know, here to please men. And that is part of our psychology as well as women, right? We've internalized that. So we can feel helpless to do anything about that. I had a woman that I worked with that this was painfully difficult for her to address with her partner, even though she had shared some trauma that she'd been through with him. He wasn't violent, but he was manipulative and, you know, a victim if he didn't get sex when he wanted it. And then he'd like wake her up all night long saying like, you know, come on, come on. And it was total harassment. And this gal had to work very hard to find her own right to have boundaries. And that's, if I could say anything around this work, it's about us as women reclaiming our boundaries, our right, again, to sovereignty, to choice, the ability to say no, and that means no. And unfortunately, that no doesn't always meet people who receive it and say, oh, no, that's fine. I think we have to find our no in such a deep way in our bodies, in our psyche, in our throat, in our voice, that our no has to look like being prepared, you know, having our mace or having some way that we protect ourselves. Our no needs to be strong enough that we don't assume that if we're at a party with friends that no is going to stick if we start drinking and being with people that we think we're safe with. There is a bizarre psychological thing that's happening with men and this sort of backlash. It almost feels like, now I don't have stats on that, but there feels like this backlash against the Me Too movement of like, you know, if you're here at a party and you're drinking, then, and I like you, then it's okay for me to sort of force myself on you and then say it was completely consensual. And I know that's happening, you know, rampantly on college campuses. We know that. But it's also happening in, you know, mainstream, like here in your small town, your large city that you live in, your group of friends, there's such a message, it feels like. There's just such a message to men that says, you have the freedom to do what you want because you're a man. And we have to stand against that. We have to stand and inform that that is not true. And this is work that's been going on since, you know, the early 70s was when they were first doing work to even identify the need for having like rape crisis centers and being able to start talking about legal policies that we should start to put in place. That's so very slowly been happening but not fast enough. And obviously, if now in 2021, we're all waiting to see if the Violence Against Women Act is going to get reauthorized, that's insane, right? That's insane. So what is it that we need to do as women to empower our voice, empower our boundaries? There's probably many pieces to that, so I'm not going to be an expert about this, but just personally, in my work that I do with myself as well as women, is this idea of finding our voice happens because we actually embody ourselves. If I mentally know that I don't want my boundaries crossed, but I'm not fully present, embodied in myself to be actually able to say no and mean my no because I am scared or I've been a victim before or I'm, you know, just highly stressed and I live slightly outside of myself. I'm constantly pleasing or just trying to, you know, get through my day. Then I'm not going to have that embodied empowerment. I'm not going to have that ability to stand in the force of who I am, the spirit of who I am, to hold that no, because I'm going to be, if my no gets challenged, I'm going to be scared. I'm going to be, you know, shrinking and feeling little and feeling powerless. And so our work as women, in one point of view, in this embodied empowering view, is to keep looking at, working with what keeps pulling us outside of us. You know, is it the stress? Is it the perfectionism? Is it the way that we, our lifestyle is just all about taking care of other people? Is it the way that we're not showing up for our emotional needs and wants? Is it because we have past trauma that we're not paying attention to and we're ignoring as, you know, much as possible? Whatever that is for you, I want you to be willing to step back and lovingly inquire about that. Lovingly ask yourself, what is keeping me from feeling completely empowered in my body to really embody that no at any level that I need it? And that could be no to a family member who's asking you to do stuff you don't want to do, or no to your boss who's giving you way too much work and you can't do it, or no to your intimate partner who is pressing you and pushing you to be sexual when you don't want to be. So how do we put ourselves first and really start to pay attention to how we're going to empower our no from our deep embodied, powerful feminine place? That is the question I have for you. And it's the question that I work with women and ask often. And it's a question that I ask of myself as well, because I think it's hard to know what's in our way until we sit and really dig into it and do a little deeper work. You know, I've been working on my no for a long time, and because of abuse I've incurred throughout my life, starting young, I have a hard time having my no in place. I have to cultivate my no and continue to see what's in the way of it being fully empowered. And so I recognize this is not a simple thing, but it is so important, because we know that until we find that in ourselves, we find our powerful voice and our strong truth and our sovereign no, thank you, we are going to keep living in a world that is going to take advantage, be violent, and victimize women and children. And so we have a part that we need to play And of course, when we have if you have kids, when I had kids, oh my God, I got so triggered because I suddenly was like with these two little children that felt so vulnerable. And I was like, I have to protect these babies from things happening to them. And I can tell you, it awakens you to a whole nother level of awareness of what's possible. So this work is important, and I'm just wanting to acknowledge that it doesn't mean it's easy, but it is simple, because it is simply about us learning to show up fully for ourselves so we can show up fully in our lives and be accountable to the changes we want to see in the world. And for me, helping end violence against women and children is definitely right up there with like my top, you know, most important things in the world. And how we do that can be as simple as finding time, energy, and willingness to do your work to find your embodied, empowered no. We don't have to be ready to go volunteer for an organization or, you know, fly across the world and do international work. If you are able to and you are called to that, oh, I applaud you. And our power starts within us. Our power and our voice and our truth starts right here in this moment, in who you are. Right now. Okay? So I want you to imagine putting your hand on your chest and just raising the other hand, almost like a pledge to yourself. Like, can I do my best to show up for me and keep finding my no and my embodied empowerment? Can you give yourself that pledge? I'm going to give myself that pledge again right now. So I am committed to standing in my truth, speaking my truth, and finding my no and my embodied empowerment to the best of my ability every day, and helping the women and children around me to do the same. So, I had no idea where this was going to go today, but I'm really kind of happy where it went. It feels powerful when we recognize how connected the personal is with the bigger picture, right? How our little lives are very connected to the larger picture. So thank you for joining me today. And I hope that you take some supportive, caring, you know, wisdom from this show today. And I'm so thankful that you were here. Please be willing to share this with somebody that you think needs to hear this, needs to have that support. I'm going to be sharing a lot of resources in the show notes, and just know how important it is to me that we have the ability to step into this higher awareness for ourselves. So thanks again. This is Dr. Kate Dow, inviting you to take your turn, find your voice, own your truth, and claim your power.